There's a two-way mutuality that is intended between God and man. And it's a two-way relationship. And part of that is that we speak to God and he speaks to us. Part of it is that we hearken to his voice as we hear his word, and he listens to our voice in prayer. Now, this is a very big theme in the Bible. 2 Kings 18:12 is absolutely specific about that, that Israel did not hear God's word, God's voice, and so he did not hear their voice in prayer. And all the way through, we are told that Israel did not hearken or obey the voice of Yahweh, and so he did not hearken to their voice in prayer. This is very clear, Judges 2:20, many places. It's really stressed. And when you come to Saul, we're told that he did not hearken to the voice of God, 1 Samuel 15:19. And then at the end of his life, when he's desperate for God to hear his voice in prayer, 1 Samuel 28:18, God did not listen to Saul's voice. So Saul, however, at that time was desperate to actually have the word of God. He was so desperate, he goes to the witch at Endor. He desperately wants to meet Samuel because he wants to have a word from God. I think you can conclude, therefore, that you can love Bible study for its own sake and, yeah, be interested in what God has to say about things, and yet you're not actually obeying or hearing his voice. The Hebrew idea of hearing is not simply to hear, literally, but also to obey. And we can hear, but not obey. This is a challenge to all of us as Bible readers, as people who are interested in the Bible, that you can hear what's being said and yet not obey it. And yet the Hebrew idea of hearing is not just to hear, it is to hear and obey. And so I'm not saying that the more you read the Bible, the more God will answer your prayers. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that God respects those who hear and obey what he says. And he presents himself as responding to that by hearing our voice. And so in these days where there is no sort of miraculous revelation, that there's no burning bushes around and things like that, we wonder how we can get into this two-way relationship with God, where God speaks to us and we speak to him. And we can. And of course, I accept that God speaks in various ways to us, not only through the text of the Bible, but it's quite clear that in our time, that is certainly an obvious way in which God speaks. The Bible is the word of God. And as you read it, you may not, as it were, get anything out of certain things that you read, but over time, you develop a sense of his will and his ways. And your prayer life, your talking to him, comes to reflect that. You're not just asking for random things, giving God a wish list of 10 things in prayer, thinking, well, I might get one, so that wouldn't be too bad. Not at all. As you come to know his will and his word abides in you, you come to sense what his will is, and you ask according to his will, and therefore you receive. In John 15, verse 7, we're told that if his word abides in us, we shall ask what we will, and it will be done to us. And yet we also read about asking according to God's will, and the prayers according to God's will being answered. But John 15, 7 says that we shall ask according to his will, if God's word abides in us, and we shall receive. And that is because his will becomes our will. So it's not simply that prayer is answered because of faith. The issue is what you pray for. Remember, as a child, I was a fairly young person anyway, I had a £5 note and I put this on the carpet. It was a red carpet, I remembered, my parents' place. And I prayed with all the faith of a child. that that £5 note would turn into a £20 note, because I wanted to buy something for my railway, as I remember. And it didn't happen. Now, don't tell me I didn't believe enough. The sort of Pentecostal view would be, yeah, no, it's all possible, just you got to believe, man. And you didn't believe. I believed. I believed with the faith of a child. I absolutely believed. And I would open my tightly clenched shut eyes, and there was still the £5 on the red carpet. Not the £20. So, why didn't that happen? Well, because that's not praying according to the will of God. Intensity of faith is one thing, but it ends up really not so much faith, but blind hope. And blind hope is not necessarily the same as faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Paul says. And as I say, it is not so simple that, oh, well, if I'd have read my Bible for 10 minutes and then said my prayer, it might have happened. No, if I'd have read my Bible for a bit more than 10 minutes, it would have occurred to me that this is not the way God works. God doesn't turn £5 notes into £20 notes just like that. And what I'm saying is that it's all about a relationship with God, that as you get to know him and he reveals his will to you, you're hearing his voice and you are talking back in prayer. So prayer and Bible reading are related, but not in some sort of magic way that, you know, read a chapter from the Bible and then say a prayer and it'll work sort of thing. Not at all. I'm saying that part of this two-way ongoing mutual relationship is that we hear God's voice as we read and as we meditate upon his word. And you know, I realize that it's not always possible to just open your Bible in peace and read it for half an hour. But you can open your Bible as you're traveling around, going through life, or just switch on your phone and look at a verse, just one verse, grab a verse, as it were, as you're going through your life and your daily life. And God will speak to you. And it is for you then to talk back to God in prayer, not specifically about that verse, perhaps, that you grabbed as you were doing your daily work. But over time, his voice to you comes through his word. And you then respond to that in the way that you pray. Now, this is where Israel went so wrong, that they did not hear God's word, and so he did not hear their prayers. I suppose one of the most dramatic examples of God hearing man's voice is in Joshua 10, where Joshua prays for more time in order to do God's work in destroying the Canaanites, and the sun stands still, whether in a literal sense or whatever, I don't know, but certainly it is presented as the word of a man on this tiny planet actually affecting the whole solar system and perhaps the whole cosmos. Because if the sun stands still, I mean the whole caboose has to stand still. You can't just stop one part of the mechanism. And as I say, whether it's literally happened, there would have been certain practical, physical sort of ramifications if it did. But, okay, whatever. The idea is that the voice of a person here on earth, there in heaven, produced huge response. And you have the same in the figure of the incense being offered in Revelation 8, which is a symbol of prayer. We're told that there, that this ascended with the prayers of the saints, and earthquakes and lightnings and thunders and stuff started to happen, and angels started to pour out bowls of wrath upon the earth, and so on, all in response to that incense arising. But, of course, prayer is not simply about asking for things. If you read through the Psalms, they're all prayers, really, and most of them are not asking for things. If you look at how many verses are actually requesting anything, then most of them aren't. They are talking to God. And as I say, this is all about this two-way mutual relationship between God and man. And if we're going to ignore God's word, then he is not going to respond to us, not simply because he makes a direct equation between the more you read the Bible, the more I will respond to you. No, it's more that, as I say, as you read and feel his spirit, his way, his will, as you are exposed to it in the Bible, then your prayers are appropriate to that, and God will hear and respond. And so the experience with God and with answered prayer gets better and better.